Welcome to Season 3, Episode 9 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the vows and tithes discussed in the book of Leviticus. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. The final chapter of Leviticus is sort of an appendix to the book. After concluding the major part of the book in chapter 26 and verse 46, additional information is given about gifts that individuals would give to the Lord. These would either be voluntary, the vows, or mandatory, the tithes. In this episode, we're going to discuss the vows and tithes and see what applications can be made to the giving that we do today. First, talk about vows. Individuals could make a vow to give something to the Lord. These would be given out of one's free will and were not required. This is talked about in Deuteronomy 23:21-23, and Ecclesiastes 5:4-6. In Deuteronomy 23, verses 21-23, it says, "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will require it, will surely require it of you. However, if you refrain from vowing, it will not be sin in you. You shall be careful to perform what goes out from your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised." In that passage in Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, "When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay." The bulk of the chapter in Leviticus 27 deals with the valuations of those things which would be vowed for the purpose of redemption. Now, the following were items that could be vowed. First, you had persons that would be vowed to the Lord. It's discussed in verses 2 through 8. The valuations of persons that were vowed to the Lord will be determined based upon their age and their gender. There are also provisions for the poor. One notable example of one who was vowed to the Lord was Samuel. His mother Hannah made a vow to God in 1 Samuel 1:11, where she said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Also, animals could be vowed to the Lord. This is talked about in verses 9 through 13. Animals that could be offered in sacrifices could not be exchanged. However, if an animal was vowed, an unclean animal was vowed, it would be valued by the priest and the redemption price would be a fifth added to the valuation. Houses also could be vowed in verses 14 and 15. The priest would value the house and the redemption price would be a fifth added to the valuation. Lands also could be vowed, verses 16 through 24. The valuation of lands would be based upon the seed needed for it. Since all lands would revert to the original owner at the year of Jubilee, the redemption price would be calculated based upon the number of years until the year of Jubilee. However, if one vowed a piece of land, then sold it, it would become the property of the priest at the year of Jubilee instead of returning to the original owner. And there are also other instructions given about vows. First, the firstborn could not be consecrated or could not be vowed since they already belonged to the Lord. This was first mentioned in Exodus 13 and verse 2. But in Leviticus 27 and verse 26, it says, "However, a firstborn among animals, which as a firstborn belongs to the Lord, no man may consecrate it. Whether ox or sheep, it is the Lord's, since it already belonged to him." They couldn't use that in a vow to the Lord. Second, anything that had been set aside as being, quote, devoted to destruction could not be redeemed but had to be put to death. Verses 28 and 29 of this chapter, it says, "Nevertheless, anything which a man sets apart to the Lord out of all that he has of man or animal or of the fields of his property shall not be sold or redeemed. Anything devoted to destruction is most holy to the Lord. No one who may have been set apart among men shall be ransomed. It shall surely be put to death." This was used the instruction about those things that were devoted to destruction. This was used in going out to battle against an enemy, as is talked about in Numbers 21, 1 through 3, and Joshua 6, 17 through 19, or in the case of idolatry in one of their cities, Deuteronomy 13, 12 through 17. It's not about human sacrifices, not even of those who were slaves. This is clear in Exodus 21, verses 12 and 20. That this was prohibited under this law. This was for those that God had determined were to be destroyed in the case of being punished for idolatry or against going against an enemy in battle. Then the chapter talks about tithes. As the vows were voluntary, the tithes were mandatory. Verse 30 says, "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Verse 32 says, "For every tenth part of herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord." Verse 31 says that the tithe of the land could be redeemed by adding a fifth to it. And all the tithe of the herd or flock could not be redeemed. Every tenth animal was the Lord's, and if one tried to make an exchange, if they were going to give up an animal that they didn't want to give up, so they tried to make an exchange, both animals would become holy, verse 33 says. Now, as we understand a little bit about vows and tithes, as is talked about in Leviticus chapter 27, what applications can we make for us today? The vow and the tithe both share similarities with the giving that we do as Christians today. For the tithe, the action was required and the amount was specified. For the vow, the action was voluntary and the amount was left to the discretion of the giver. Now, in our giving, the action is required. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." However, the exact amount or percentage is never specified. Yet as the amount is to be given is left to our discretion, we are told that we are to give cheerfully, liberally, and in accordance with how God has richly blessed us. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 says, "On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." So we noticed 2 weeks ago, when we give, we acknowledge how God has blessed us and how he will continue to bless us. Also in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, Paul says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed, as it is written, 'He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness, and you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God." As we see in that passage, as we give, Paul says we are to do so bountifully, purposefully, cheerfully, and liberally. So in conclusion, there are lessons that we need to learn from the vows and tithes for our service to God today. As the tithes were mandatory, we must give on the first day of the week. As the vows were voluntary, we must choose what, or better, how much we are going to give. But as we give, we need to remember God's rich blessings toward us and then give accordingly. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. This episode concludes Season 3 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we've been focusing on the book of Leviticus. Season 4 will begin on October 25th. In that season, we're going to be focusing on Jesus. During the break, over the next 4 weeks, we'll be adding something new. We're going to have sermons being posted each of those weeks instead of the regular episodes, so stay tuned for those. The first one will be posted next week. So until then, I hope you have a great week.